All right, so this morning we're starting a new series, and we can see that the series that we're starting today is relationships and marriage. Relationships and marriage. We spent the last 4 or 5 weeks looking at the Holy Spirit and just understanding, you know, who the Holy Spirit is, the work of the Holy Spirit in our lives, so on and so forth. But today we're starting on a topic that I think is quite important. And the reason why I said I think it's quite important is because at one way or the other, we're all involved in one relationship or the other. And as we grow up in life, we'll experience these things. Now, another reason why I think it's quite important is that we have a biblical perspective of relationships. So some of the things that I'm going to be saying today might be might not be within the box. But again, it's going to be based on what the Bible says, so that we can understand the whys of things. I remember when I was growing up, and even maybe I hear that now, where people say, don't do this. This is not the right thing to do, so on and so forth. And in my mind, the question I have is why? I mean, why shouldn't I do that? Do you understand? What's the why behind it? And for me, I'm a very why person. You know, I don't know, maybe it's the scientific part of me. If you tell me something, I might agree with you, but, you know, deep down inside, I want to really understand why you're asking me to do this or not to do this. Do you understand? So I just want to apply the same approach to this topic that we're looking at today. Why certain things don't work out the way they should, and why certain things work out the way they should. All right. So we're going to start today's by looking at what I've called dating and Christian courtship. Now, I'm going to be looking at a few things today. If we don't finish this section today, we'll carry on till next week. So I'll start by looking at what is relationship. I got a dictionary definition of that, which I'll read out. We'll look at forms of premarital relationship. We'll look at Christian courtship. We'll look at boyfriend and girlfriend relationships and dating. We'll also look at a number of misconceptions I believe we might have about love. Then, if time permits, we'll look at the way, the trap, and the consequences of non-biblical relationships. And I pray that God will help us in Jesus' name. So, the first thing is, what is relationship? So I got a dictionary meaning from the Oxford Dictionary online. And it says, relationship is the way in which two or more people or things are connected. It's the state of being connected. Now, one thing about humans and one thing about us is that God has made us relational human. I was going to say relational human beings. God has made us relational. You know, when you're growing up, you know, you want to play with your friends across the street. You want to, you know, hang out with your cousins. We're all relational in that way. Do you understand? And it's a good thing. Someone was saying, there was a preacher that I was preaching that I listened to a while ago. And he said that in prison, when they want to punish people, maybe like there's someone in prison and, you know, that person wants to be reprimanded. What do? They put them in solitary confinement. They remove all the relationships that, or any access to conversations or relationships that they might have as a form of punishment. So this tells us that to us humans, relationships are quite important, even if we're not really aware of it. They mean a lot to us. So it says here that relationship is the state of being connected. Now, I want to look at a number of premarital relationships that are common. There might be more, but I'm just going to focus on just three this morning. So the first one is friendship. You know, you have a friend, you know, like, you know, just friendships. And if you look at Proverbs chapter 8, verse 24, looking at friendships, Proverbs chapter 18, verse 24. And it says something about friendships there, 18:24. And I'll just quote that up. So in that, it says in the second part, but there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother. So saying here that friendships can be so impactful on our lives, they can be so beneficial that, you know, you can have a friend that is almost closer to you than a brother, or like more than a relative. So here we begin to see that friendships are really important, and everybody has friends. Well, most people have friends as we go along in life. Now, the second type of relationship that I want to look at this morning, which we'll focus on, is what I'll call boyfriend and girlfriend relationship / dating. Then after that, I'll look at Christian courtship. Now, I dug out a dictionary meaning, dictionary explanation. So when you say someone is your boyfriend or someone is your girlfriend, what do you really mean by that? It says here, boyfriend or girlfriend is a person's regular companion with whom they have a romantic or sexual relationship. So that's what the dictionary meaning defines boyfriend and girlfriend relationship. It defines dating as a process whereby two people meet socially for companionship beyond the level of friendship, or with the aim of each assessing the other's suitability as a partner in an intimate relationship or marriage. So it says here that when someone says that they're your boyfriend or your girlfriend, it goes further than being a casual friend, from what we've seen here. Now, what's Christian courtship? So we've looked at friendship. We've looked at, you know, what it means, boyfriend, girlfriend relationship and dating. So what is Christian courtship in the mix of all this? Another definition. It says, Christian courtship is a relationship between a man and a woman in which they seek to determine if it is God's will for them to marry each other under the protection, guidance, and blessings of parents or mentors. It says the couple concentrate on developing a deep friendship that could lead to marriage as they discern their readiness for marriage and God's timing for their marriage. All right, so what am I saying here? We're looking at focusing today on the two relationships I've just described. Boyfriend and girlfriend and dating and Christian courtship. So what we want to identify today is that what's the difference between this boyfriend and girlfriend relationship and Christian courtship? A number of differences. But I'm just going to focus on two here. So the two things that I've picked here is the purpose of the relationship and the level of commitment. So the question I ask myself is, before I do anything, why am I doing this thing? What's the purpose of this thing that I'm about to do? Do you understand? So I'm asking the same questions around relationship. So when you say someone is your boyfriend or your girlfriend, what's the purpose of that relationship? Or on the other hand, when you say you're dating someone, what's the purpose of that relationship? In from the Christian perspective, what does it mean when someone is courting? What does it mean to court someone? Some people are smiling. What does it mean to court someone? And what's the difference between someone being just your boyfriend or your girlfriend? So, again, I've said the defining thing here is the purpose and intention and the commitment. So, I've just written a few things here. It says, for the boyfriend and girlfriend relationship, it is aimed primarily at having physical intimacy outside of marriage with no lifetime commitment. Let's look at Numbers chapter 25, verse 1 and 2. So we're saying now, what's the purpose of when someone says they have a boyfriend or a girlfriend? What's the real purpose? And the purpose here, from what we see, is that it is aimed at having physical intimacy outside of marriage, more or less. So if you look at Numbers 25, 1 and 2, it says, while Israel was staying in Shittim, the men began to indulge in, you know, sexual immorality with the Moabite women, who invited them to the sacrifices, to their gods. He said the people bowed down, and worshiped for their gods. So we begin to see here that in this kind of relationship, there's no lifetime commitment. When one is involved in, you know, if you have a boyfriend or girlfriend, it says there's no real commitment to it at all. in terms of it's not going anywhere. I mean, it's just like, for example, a 14-year-old coming to tell me that, okay, I've got a boyfriend or I've got a girlfriend. I mean, where's that going to end? It's not going to end anywhere. You're just involved in that relationship just from a physical perspective. You're not going to marry them. So in terms of the commitment level of it, it's just not there. Do you understand what I mean? Now, if you look at Christian courtship, on the other hand, it says this is aimed at assessing, another definition, the suitability for marriage with no physical intimacy with the intention of a lifetime commitment. If you look at Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 to 23. Genesis chapter 2, verse 21 to 23. So what is Christian courtship here? And I'll read this story about Adam and Eve at the beginning. It says, so the Lord caused the man to fall into a deep sleep. And while he was sleeping, he took one of the man's ribs and closed up the place with flesh. Then the Lord made a woman from the rib he had taken out of the man, and he brought her to the man. The man said, this is bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh. And she will be called woman, for she was taken out of man. Now, why am I taking this example as an example for Christian courtship? Because we see in this passage here, the purpose of Christian courtship. Here, when God made Eve and brought Eve to Adam, Adam didn't say, you know what? I just want to check you out for a bit. I'm not really interested in this marriage thing. Let's just be boyfriend and girlfriend for a few months and let's see how it works out. Do you understand? Adam didn't say that. Straight away, when Adam had, you know, looked at Eve, he understood straight away where he wanted to go with Eve. Do you understand? He understood straight away. And that's what he pursued. Do you understand? Now, am I saying that we shouldn't talk to boys or girls? No, I'm not saying that. I'm just saying that we need to weigh the purpose of every relationship that we're going into so that we know what the consequence is. Do you understand? So what I'm just saying here is that from a Christian perspective, there's a big difference between the courting relationship and the casual dating relationship. And the difference between the two is that one of them has a purpose that it's looking for. One of them has an intention it has an intention of a lifetime commitment. Do you understand? While the other one is just, what I'll say is transient. Now, so we've looked at, courting. We've looked at this boyfriend-girlfriend relationship and just the casual, non-biblical dating perspective. I'm going to look at two more things. Now, the other thing I want to look at today is the misconception that we often have about love. For example, someone might come who is like 14 or 13 and he says, you know what? I'm in love with this girl. And, you know, while they're in class, they don't listen. They're just dreaming about this girl. And, you know, thoughts are just floating in the sky. And you're like, what's happening to you? And, you know, the guy is jumping around. He's just saying, you know what? I'm in love and I'm 14. So in that person's mind, what does love really mean? You guys are smiling. It seems like it's happened to you guys before. And then, so, just joking. So in that person's mind, or in that chap's mind or that girl's mind, honestly speaking, they actually believe that they're in love. Do you understand what I mean? They actually believe that they're in love. But what does love really mean in this context? So that we can really define what when someone says they're in love and they're engaging in a relationship that really is not gonna, it has no commitment level at all. It's just, you know, temporary. And that's it. What does that love really mean? Well, the first thing I just want to say is that there is a big difference between love and infatuation. I tell you, there's a big, big, big difference between love and infatuation. And what is infatuation here? It says it's an intense, note that word, intense but short-lived passion or admiration for someone or something. Do you understand? So it says, you know, the definition of love in this context of like a young guy who, you know, obviously cannot get married because he's too young, or a young girl. Infatuation is saying here is intense, it's passionate. He feels or she feels that, you know what, this is it. My life will not continue if I don't see this girl. Do you understand what I mean? And in his mind or in her mind, she's really, really into it. But it's just infatuation most of the time. Now, what really is love here? What does the Bible define as love? Now, don't get me wrong. I'm not saying that one cannot, that when one really finds someone that they love, it's not going to be intense. It's not going to be passionate. It should be. Do you understand? But I just want to distinguish between that and what love really actually means in the context of this as well. Now, if we look at 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 4 to 7, it begins to tell us about what love really is. It says, love is patient, love is kind, it does not envy, it does not boast, it is not proud, it is not rude, it is not self-seeking, it is not easily angered, it keeps no record of wrongs. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. So we begin to see that in the context of love, love has certain characteristics. Now, when someone says they love someone, there are a number of things that entails. I know sometimes we don't do all of these things, but you want to be patient with that person. It says you want to be kind to that person. So this begins to tell us that love is beyond just feeling goosebumps. You know, feeling goosebumps is nice, which is great. You know, when you see the person that you love, you know, you can be really excited and all that. But love is slightly beyond that. It goes beyond the level of just goosebumps. It goes beyond the level of just your emotions. Although your emotions are involved in love, but love is more than that. It is all this as well. So what am I saying here? I'm just saying that, look, next time someone comes up and they say, you know, I'm really in love with this girl, you need to really ask them. No, don't. You probably don't ask them straight away or this. They might get a bit upset. But again, it's just to help us, you know, understand the two. Do you understand? Of this infatuation. Now, the next thing I want to look at is, so we've looked at relationships. What's a relationship? We've looked at different forms of relationship. We've said, okay, there's the, you know, there's friendship, which is general. The second one, there is, you know, the boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, which is just really, really doesn't go anywhere. You know, there's no intention. It's just, you know, to be together. And there's the Christian courtship, which is the one that has the intention that, okay, this person, I want to get married to them. That is why I'm, you know, having this relationship with them. Now, I just want to say a number of things as well. So this now comes to the why side of things. Why am I spending all this time talking about boyfriend-girlfriend relationship and courting? Why can't I be talking about something else? Because I believe that even if it doesn't apply to us now, it might apply to someone that we know, and it's something that we really need to understand. Now, what I'm going to look at in the next few minutes is what I've called the way, the trap, and the consequence of non-biblical relationships like boyfriend and girlfriend. Now, what is the way of, when I say the way, I'll explain what I mean by that. What is the way of non-biblical boyfriend-girlfriend relationship? That's going nowhere. The first thing I'll say is that it's oftentimes based on, and this might seem a bit heavy, but if we look at it, you know, beneath, a lot of times it's based on deception. Get it? A lot of the times it is based on deception. Now, how do I know that? Now, a guy comes to a girl and he knows in his mind that the only thing he wants from that person is a physical relationship. He's not really too bothered about that person, really. And what does he do? Or what does she do? Okay, let's go out on a date. I'll pick you up tomorrow. Get ready, I'll be there. The guy, you know, gets out his best, you know, whatever, irons it. He practices his lines and all that. And he's so nice to the girl. And, you know, he goes, he picks her up. opens the door for her, you know, before, she gets in, and you know, when they get to the restaurant and all that, she wants to sit down. He just pulls the chair out, then pulls it back in. It's good, we should do that. Are you laughing? We should do that. You know, he does all that, and and she says, you know what? I'd like a, what do you want there? Water. Waiter, water. Why are you laughing? What kind of water do you want? Sparkling, still, medium, rare, and depends on which restaurant you guys go to. So, and he's really at it. Do you understand what I mean? Do you know why he's doing that? Now, if that relationship does not have the commitment of marriage at the end, the guy is just deceiving the girl, or vice versa. And you see it a lot. And you know what? So what I'm saying here is that any non-biblical relationship that is not Christian courtship, I'm telling you, it's based on deception most of the time. Now, not all the time. So someone is deceiving someone. Do you understand? Someone is deceiving someone. Now, I'll come to a number of things in a minute. And you know what also helps this deception? And I'll explain in a minute. The other thing that helps this deception as well is the glamorization by the media. So, you look at from the 60s, or the 60s. When did the hippie? Okay, from the 60s, from the 70s and all that. You know, you had television coming up, you know, particularly from the States. And there was this really romantic season thing that the media began to play, paint. They had loads of love songs. If you Google love songs from the 60s, I mean, the 60s were full of them. Nice music. And, you know, you'd have, you know, songs about, oh, she left me, oh my, and, I mean, a range of songs just talking about how he met this girl, and it's so catchy, the tune. And you now have all these films and all that where you have the depiction of this man, the guy's, you know, he's the macho guy, he has several women up and down, and so you see the glamorization of this deception, I'll call it. But what they don't show you guys at the end is someone who is brokenhearted. What they don't show you guys at the end is that this guy has done it to about 10 girls. He has left all of them. They're crying in their house. They're heartbroken. Some of them are depressed. They don't show you guys that. What they show is all the fancy sizzling things, all the restaurant, all the, you know, nice things. And everybody wants to be like that. Why am I saying this? I'm sure you guys are looking at me from like, oh, why is Pastor saying all this? It's just, you know, so that we understand how this thing is. And when I say deception, what is that person being deceived to do? Apart from the fact that, and again, you know, please understand me, it's not in all circumstances. I'm talking about boyfriend-girlfriend relationship that's going nowhere. We know it's going nowhere. This deception is not new. Let's look at Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. And I think after this one, I'm going to stop. Yeah, then I'll continue next week. So we're saying that non-biblical boyfriend-girlfriend relationship is based on deception a lot of the times. So I'm going to read Genesis chapter 3, verse 1 to 5. And I'll just, after this, I'm going to stop. It says, "Now the serpent was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord God had made. He said to the woman, 'Did God really say you must not eat any tree in the garden?' The woman said to the serpent." It says, "We may eat fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat fruit from the tree that is in the middle of the garden. You must not touch it or you will die." The serpent says, "You will not surely die," the serpent said to the woman, "for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be opened and you will be like God, knowing evil. So, knowing good and evil. So, we begin to see a scenario here where the Bible tells us that the devil comes to Eve and he begins to have this conversation with her. Do you understand? And what's the conversation that he's having with her? You know, if the devil had been on, if he had been really open with her and said, you know what I want to do to you is I really want to make sure that you disobey God, you eat this fruit, your life becomes miserable, and that you cause problems for the whole of humanity after you. That's what I really want to do. If he had told her that, I think she would have just said, you know what, devil, just stay away from me. But he didn't. What did he say? He just strolled there and he said, paraphrasing, hello Eve, how are you doing? By the way, your hair looks really nice. Oh, I love him. And she'll have said, what's this? I mean, my hair, what's that have to do with you? I don't talk to strangers. Oh, okay. No problem. There's no rush. You know what I mean? And now comes again. Oh, by the way, your shoes look, did you get that from, I'm not using you, I'm just saying. Your shoes look really, I mean, the tone of your skin goes with your dress. Was that a deliberate combination? It's just natural, it just happened. Oh, well, it just happened, but then he began the conversation. And he now goes, you know, just general stuff. He now goes, by the way, this God business is too much. Why aren't you, I mean, don't you think God is so restrictive? Come on. All this, don't do this, don't do that. You need to take it easy. Enjoy your life a bit. Man, life is not about just all this, don't do this. I mean, come on, take a break. Do you understand? And she said, no. God has said we should do this. We shouldn't do this. Okay, no problem. Okay, by the way, did God really even say that? This courtship, boyfriend-girlfriend relationship thing, it's over the top, man. This is the 20th century. Just take it in moderation. And the conversation began. At the end of the day, he took Eve to where she didn't really want to go. And she was convinced in her heart that, you know what, this is the right thing to do. Do you understand? So why am I saying this? I'm saying this because, and I'm going to end here in a minute, that a lot of the times relationships that are non-biblical like this, they have the same undertone. The undertone is, what's the big deal? The undertone is, come on, just relax, take it easy. But the deception is that the actual consequence of that thing is not revealed at that time. Do you understand? And the consequence of engaging in non-biblical relationships is it's very grave. And we'll look at that next week. Amen. So this morning, I'm just going to stop there. We've looked at, you know, what's relationship. We've looked at, you know, this boyfriend-girlfriend relationship and Christian courtship. We've said, what's the differentiating factor? We've said the differentiating factor is the purpose and the commitment of it. Let's all rise up this morning and we'll just pray.